Richland County Sheriff Clay Porter announced the arrest of a Lone Rock man following a comprehensive investigation into the possession of illegal material. The investigation was initiated after the Richland County Sheriff's Office, acting as an affiliated member of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, received a cyber tip regarding the reported possession of child pornography. On August 31st, sheriff's deputies executed a search warrant at a location on County Highway B in Lone Rock as part of the ongoing case. Following the search, 21-year-old Jonathan D. Moore was taken into custody. Moore has been charged with two counts of possession of child pornography and one count of possession of a child sex doll. The Richland County Sheriff's Office spearheaded the investigation with significant assistance from several other partner agencies, including the Wisconsin ICAC Task Force, the Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigations Digital Evidence Unit, and the Richland Center Police Department. A collaborative effort between local law enforcement agencies culminated in a drug arrest late last week in the village of Muscadet. On Friday, August 28th, investigators from both the Iowa County Sheriff's Office and the Grant County Sheriff's Office converged on a local residence as part of a targeted drug investigation. The operation moved into its final phase when deputies executed a search warrant at a home located on East Nebraska Street. Following the search, law enforcement took 38-year-old Wesley Micah Frederick into custody. Frederick, a resident of Muscadet, was subsequently transported to the Iowa County Jail to await further legal proceedings. Authorities have referred a sweeping array of charges against Frederick that suggest a significant narcotics operation. The most serious allegations include possession with intent to deliver between 10 and 50 grams of amphetamine and maintaining a drug trafficking place. Additionally, Frederick faces charges for the possession of narcotic drugs and intent to deliver both non-narcotics and THC, the latter involving a quantity of 200 grams or less. Investigators also cited the discovery of drug paraphernalia at the scene. The case remains under the jurisdiction of the Iowa County authorities as the legal process moves forward. On the evening of Tuesday, August 25th, a routine traffic stop in Prairie du Chien led to the arrest of a Woodman man on multiple drug-related charges. Sheriff Dale McCulloch of the Crawford County Sheriff's Office reported that the department's K-9 unit was instrumental in the investigation. The incident began when K-9 Diego and his handler initiated a stop within the city limits. During the encounter, K-9 Diego performed an exterior sniff of the vehicle and alerted his handler to the presence of controlled substances. This alert provided the basis for a thorough search of the automobile, which uncovered a cache of methamphetamine alongside various items of drug paraphernalia. The operator of the vehicle, identified as 51-year-old Michael Dilley, reportedly showed physical signs of narcotics impairment at the scene. Consequently, law enforcement took Dilley into custody. He was subsequently transported to the Crawford County Jail, where he faces several legal accusations, including possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. Additionally, Dilley has been charged with his second offense of operating a motor vehicle with a restricted controlled substance. Judd Allen Frazier, 57, of Muscadet, entered pleas of no contest to charges of substantial battery and battery by a prisoner in Richland County Circuit Court in connection with a death in September of 2025 on Peaceful Valley Road after two men got into a fight over an unpaid electric bill. Frazier had initially been charged with felony murder, but entered the no contest pleas to the lesser charges. A witness stated Frazier had hit the victim in the head with a flashlight. In a sentencing hearing presided over by Judge Lisa McDougall, Frazier received a total of 9 years in the Wisconsin state prison system following convictions in two separate criminal cases. The court imposed a 7-year sentence consisting of 5 years of initial confinement and 2 years of extended supervision. This was followed by a consecutive 2-year sentence, which includes 1 year of initial confinement and 1 year of extended supervision. These terms are to run consecutively to the other and to any other sentence Mr. Frazier is currently serving. The defendant appeared in custody for the proceedings, where the court also outlined strict conditions for his eventual extended supervision. Mr. Frazier is ordered to pay $5,000 in restitution to the Crime Victim Fund and must have no contact with the victim or the victim's family. Additionally, the sentence requires him to successfully complete all assessments, counseling, and programming ordered by his agents, specifically including anger management. The court also mandated a DNA sample submission and random testing for controlled substances as part of the rehabilitative requirements of this judgment. In a significant move to strengthen the state's workforce and support its residents, Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development have secured more than $11 million in federal funding from the U.S. Department of Education. This critical investment is directed toward the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, ensuring that Wisconsinites with disabilities can access essential career services without the hindrance of a wait list through federal fiscal year 2027. The acquisition of these funds marks a turning point for vocational services in Wisconsin, effectively removing long-standing barriers to employment for thousands of people. Governor Evers had previously advocated for robust funding in the 2025 through 27 executive budget to prevent service interruptions. However, the Republican-controlled Finance Committee initially provided insufficient resources. This shortfall led to the implementation of a wait list in December 2025, which at its peak left approximately 7,600 individuals waiting for assistance. The new federal infusion, combined with recently approved state matching funds, allows the DVR to resume its full capacity and prioritize those with the most significant needs. With a current engagement of about 19,000 individuals, the DVR plays a vital role in connecting people of all abilities to rewarding careers while providing technical assistance to employers. The Wisconsin Groundwater Coordinating Council recently shared key recommendations for protecting and preserving vital groundwater resources in its 2026 annual report to the Wisconsin State Legislature. As the state depends heavily on groundwater for its residents and economy, the report serves as a roadmap for addressing the most prevalent and pressing environmental issues currently facing Wisconsin communities. Among the primary focuses of the 2026 recommendations is the urgent need to address various forms of groundwater contamination. This includes tackling the spread of PFAS chemicals, reducing nitrate levels, and mitigating pesticide contamination that threatens water safety. Furthermore, the council has prioritized finding sustainable solutions for water-stressed areas where limited supply affects local communities, economic activity, and the overall health of water resources, alongside addressing other miscellaneous contaminants found during monitoring. Wisconsin depends heavily on groundwater, and we need to coordinate and invest in protecting our water resource, said Joel Van Rossum, GCC Chair and DNR Environmental Management Deputy Division Administrator. Van Rossum noted that as new challenges emerge and new ideas develop, a collaborative approach involving the GCC and, most importantly, Wisconsin state legislators will be essential to developing effective and long-term solutions. For further details, contact Joel Van Rossum, Groundwater Coordinating Council Chair, DNR Deputy Division Administrator. He is at 608-416-9200. That is 608-416-9200. The Wisconsin State Patrol has announced extensive and aerial enforcement plans across seven counties through the upcoming holiday weekend. Starting Tuesday, pilots from the State Patrol's Air Support Unit will monitor traffic from above to identify violations and ensure public safety. The schedule begins with I-94 in Waukesha County on Tuesday, followed by I-90-94 in Monroe County Wednesday, in Eau Claire County Thursday. Friday, September 4th, operations will cover U.S. 18-151 in Iowa County and Wisconsin 29 in Chippewa County. The weekend concludes with surveillance of I-41 in Outagamie County on both Saturday and Sunday, ending with I-41 in Washington County on Labor Day. Aerial enforcement is a strategic tool designed to enhance the State Patrol's primary mission of public safety. A youth football parent admits to tripping a 9-year-old player. Mount Pleasant police say it happened Saturday, August 22nd at Racine Case High School. Video shows a man sprinting onto the field and sweeping the legs of a Racine Youth Eagles ball carrier headed for the end zone. Police say the 41-year-old from Milwaukee admitted to tripping the child and was cited for disorderly conduct. A parent followed the man's vehicle as he left, helping officers locate him minutes later. Officials awarded the touchdown and ended the game early to prevent further tensions between the Eagles and the visiting Milwaukee Colts. A degree in artificial intelligence is among new career paths at North Central Technical College. The Wausau School announced 7 new programs on Friday, including four for video production and an associate's degree in artificial intelligence. The latter will be offered through the school's IT program and will focus on integrating AI into existing software systems and installing guardrails for privacy, bias, security, and operational risks. The school has also added a firefighter paramedic apprenticeship program with the city of Wausau that will allow students to train in both a classroom and a professional setting, leading to full paramedic certification. Applications for the programs are open now. Classes will start this fall. Help for people experiencing mental health and substance use concerns is just a call, chat, or text away. Carolyn Crehan Newman with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline provides free and confidential support with trained counselors who can help people work through a myriad of issues they may be facing. Crehan Newman says the assistance available has proven to be helpful, with less than 0.5% of all contacts to the 988 Center in Wisconsin requiring any type of additional intervention. In Wisconsin, calls, texts, and chats are answered by the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline, a service of Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin contracted with the Department of Health Services. The Alzheimer's Association will be holding an end-of-summer Alzheimer's party tomorrow at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Chris Gerber is an organizer of the event.
It's a surprise event even for me. I'm part of a committee. 4 of us get together, Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison. I was very shocked that the Alzheimer's Association said, Chris, we want to have one in your area because of my event in November. So September 2nd at the Phoenix Center from 5 to 8:30, it's an end of summer celebration, however you want to look at it. Nobody likes to celebrate end of summer, so it's more just an Alzheimer's celebration thing to kind of get together. Not looking at donate. I want to say thank you to those that have been part of my November event, and just thank everybody for that. But also, if you are a caregiver or anybody that you think is suffering, bring them down.
The November event Chris is speaking about is the annual Marcy's Strikeout Alzheimer's Bowling event, which helps raise money for Alzheimer's research. The end-of-summer party that will thank everyone who helped raise funds for the Alzheimer's Association will feature a free-will donation pizza buffet, live music by Donnie Razak, and a 50-50 raffle. There will also be information on Project Lifesaver, information on support available to caregivers and patients, and special awards for contributors from the area. Representatives will be in attendance to help answer questions.
We'll have Pam there. We'll have the ADRC there. Alzheimer's Association is going to be there, so you'll be able to get some of your questions answered. Where can I go next? What options do I have as caregivers? Caregiver health to me is very important. Caregiver health due to the fact, and we were talking about it just a little bit ago with Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton was a caregiver for her husband, and she let things slack a little bit on her own health, which you find with a lot of caregivers these days. They tend to, if they're caregiving, they ignore their signs that they're seeing pain, whatever it means. It's just, well, I'm tired. I'm getting through it. I was a caregiver for almost 2 years, driving back from Hudson and, 600 miles in a week and whatever it may be. And it wears on you after a long time. And then after everything passes, it doesn't pass. It stays there. And did I do the right thing? Did I do everything I could?
Join the Alzheimer's Association for their end-of-summer Alzheimer's party tomorrow from 5 o'clock until 8:30 at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. When an injury occurs due to a work-related accident, consumers seek and depend on workers' compensation for assistance with medical expenses and to help them financially while out of work. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, DATCAP, reports that recently consumers have been alerted about workers' compensation scams. Michelle Reinen is with DATCAP.
The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, one of our partner agencies, has alerted the public about a possible multi-state fraud scheme that's targeting injured workers, in which case the fraudsters are trying to trick people into participating in fake workers' compensation hearings. And this leads the injured workers to believing that they are awarded money, but they're now responsible for paying fees to finalize the case. So the scam is primarily targeting Spanish-speaking workers, but anyone can be targeted, and it claims to come from fake agencies with names like Workers' Compensation Board, usually arrives as an email with domains like @workerscompcourt.org or workcompcourt.org, and consumers are told to attend an online hearing using a video call platform, and the fake hearing involves a judge, bailiff, and attorney trying to make it all look very convincing.
As always, consumers are urged to do research before taking action.
We hope consumers can always verify information before they act. I mean, do they truly have a claim? The real Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Division schedules hearings only through written letter, and all phone numbers for the department will have Wisconsin area codes. So those are those important details to search and know about when dealing with different government agencies. They're very transparent in what their processes are and don't deviate from those. And you can confirm and validate that information. So if someone does receive a suspicious message about this workers' compensation hearing scam that's going around, we urge them to contact the real Department of Workforce Development. And you can do that through their website at dwd.wisconsin.gov.
If you've been targeted by a workers' compensation scam, you can also contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. The Vernon County Community Development Department has announced the return of the Vernon County Awards for 2026. This year's banquet is scheduled for Wednesday, November 4th at Willow and Oak at Hillsboro Brewing Company in Hillsboro. Now entering its fourth year, the event serves to celebrate the local individuals, businesses, and organizations that contribute to making Vernon County a thriving community. The theme for the 2026 banquet, Stronger Together, Adapting, Innovating, Thriving, emphasizes the resilience and collaborative spirit of the region's residents and businesses in overcoming challenges and embracing new ideas. A new highlight for this year's festivities is an optional brewery tour of Hillsboro Brewing Company, Vernon County's only brewery. Starting at 4 p.m., the tour will provide guests with a look at the history of the company and the historic building it calls home before the dinner and awards ceremony begin. Nominations for the awards are officially open from September 1st through September 30th. Categories include honors for businesses, events, nonprofits, young leaders, and health and safety services. Community members interested in submitting nominations or seeking more information can access the full list of categories and forms on the Vernon County website. Farmers in Wisconsin had a productive week ending August 30th with 6 days suitable for field work. Despite some ongoing dry conditions across much of the state, steady progress was made on harvesting and late season crop development. Potatoes are currently being harvested and some fall tillage has begun. Soil moisture levels reflect the dry weather, with topsoil moisture rated at 15% very short, 28% short, and 56% adequate. Subsoil moisture conditions are similar, with 11% very short, 27% short, and 61% adequate. Regarding corn development, 85% of the crop has reached the dough stage, with 38% in the dense stage and 5% matured. Corn silage harvest is underway, reaching 5% completion, and the overall condition of the corn crop remains solid, was 62%, rated as good to excellent. Soybeans continued to progress as well, with 96% of the crop setting pods and 5% beginning to drop leaves. The condition of the soybean crop is reported as 61%, good to excellent. Meanwhile, oat harvesting is nearly complete at 90%, and the third cutting of alfalfa hay has reached 97% completion. Pasture and range conditions are currently rated at 45%, good to excellent. Mineral Point is preparing to celebrate the vibrant world of textile arts with the return of the Shake Rag Alley Fiber Fair, Saturday, September 26th. This free event, held alongside the annual Cornish Festival and Celtic Celebration, offers a unique opportunity for makers and enthusiasts to engage with the life cycle of fiber. Visitors can explore a pop-up market featuring local artisans, witness live demonstrations of spinning and weaving, and even meet the charming sheep from Sugar Springs Farm. The afternoon will culminate in a flash fashion show at 2 p.m. where participants are encouraged to showcase their handmade and upcycled creations. Beyond the Fiber Fair, the Shake Rag Alley campus remains a hub of activity throughout the fall season. Literary fans can enjoy the final installment of the Alley Stage Reading Series on September 20th, while those looking for hands-on creativity can join the Makers and Shakers Art Party September 16th to craft fabric flowers. As Halloween approaches, the Lind Pavilion will host a spirited Fright Night October 30th, followed by the beloved Mineral Point tradition of Trick or Treat October 31st. Whether you're interested in historical crafts or modern celebrations, these upcoming events provide a wonderful way to connect with the local arts community. For the first time in nearly half a century, the delicate calls of the piping plover have returned to the shores of Wisconsin Point in Superior. This summer, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources confirmed that a pair of these endangered migratory shorebirds successfully nested in the St. Louis River estuary, marking a historic milestone for a species that had not documented a nest in the area since 1977. This resurgence is the culmination of years of intensive habitat restoration and collaborative conservation efforts across the Great Lakes region. The nesting success was made possible by a $4.5 million habitat recovery project within the St. Louis River Area of Concern. Utilizing 87,000 cubic yards of clean material dredged from the Duluth Superior Harbor, partners including the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the St. Louis River Alliance created 14 acres of pristine sand and cobble habitat. This carefully engineered site within the Wisconsin Point Bird Sanctuary provides the specialized beach and dune environment that piping plovers require for survival, shielded from human disturbance during the critical breeding season. Community stewardship has been equally vital to this achievement. For over a decade, the St. Louis River Alliance has coordinated volunteers to maintain the nesting grounds by removing invasive vegetation and monitoring for bird activity. These local efforts, combined with regional conservation strategies, have helped the Great Lakes piping plover population reach record highs. As Wisconsin Point joins the Apostle Islands and Green Bay as a primary nesting site, the return of these birds serves as a powerful testament to the impact of dedicated environmental restoration in a busy working harbor. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, recognized as one of the premier dairy cooperatives in the United States by Milk Volume, recently announced a strategic expansion of its leadership team with the appointment of Lynn Wheeler. Stepping into the newly established role of Territory Manager West, Wheeler is tasked with providing essential support and services to cooperative members navigating the complex landscapes of policy, regulation, and sustainability. In her new capacity, Wheeler will lead the development and execution of strategies specifically tailored to the Western Territory. Her work will focus on broadening the organization's reach and deepening member engagement while advancing state and regional regulatory priorities. This initiative aligns with the overarching mission of the Voice of Milk organizations to represent the interests of dairy producers effectively. Wheeler brings more than 14 years of diverse experience to the role, having previously held leadership positions in dairy operations, genetics, and advocacy. Since 2011, she has served as a managing partner for her family's operation, Coldstream Farm, in Deming, Washington, and she currently resides in South Dakota. Wheeler herself emphasized her commitment to the industry through direct farmer engagement and advocacy, noting that building strong relationships and understanding the specific needs of producers is the foundation of her approach to tackling the issues facing dairy farms today.